I'd like to say, first of all, thank you for honoring me with your presence today among a group of people I see as phenomenal and enlightened and very powerful. My name is Jay Bowen. That's my English name. My native name is Klokadub. When we talk about our families, I gave a lightly overview of our families. There's about seven main tribes that our family is from, all the way from Oregon to Vancouver Island and everywhere in between. We're a product of arranged marriages. Heads of certain tribes were arranged, we have heads of other tribes, and the kids had nothing to say about it. You know, it's interesting because they all had long, happy lives. On my father's side is a Welsh. And I studied that for a while, and I was wanting to know about a whole other part of me. What's the Welsh about? And I found after a lot of studying that there was a difference. Yes, they have a stone longhouse, and we have a cedar longhouse. We have a cedar tree, they have an oak tree. But as far as spiritual beliefs, they're interchangeable. And it reinforces the story of family across the world. I really want to talk about that today. There's a couple stories I'll tell you. I'm going to start off with one little short story. This happened in Arizona. It was now Arizona. It was the Hopi land. And there was Coronado coming up from the south. Coronado, we all know the history of what Coronado tried to accomplish in the Americas. And he was coming across the desert on horseback, and the Hopi people heard about this, and they took off to meet him. And so the holy man was the first one in line, and had his whole entourage with him. And so Coronado got there and was stopped right there and confronted by these people. And the holy man put his hands out like this. And Coronado said to his lieutenant, said, he's a beggar. Sell him some beads. Sell him some trinkets. Let's get this out of the way. We're going to get going. We're looking for the lost city of gold. You know? And so the lieutenant reached in his saddlebag and threw at the guy's feet a bunch of trinkets. And that holy man's entourage gathered around him, you know, and they said, let's kill him, let's kill him now. They're being so disrespectful. This was the most important holy man in the tribe. And he said, no, our brothers need a moment to understand, remember. Let's give them time to remember. Now let's kill him. No, it's our brothers. So the point of origin was when the people came out into the earth, into the world, they were sent off in the four directions. And they were to go around the world and come back and tell everybody what they've seen around the world. So when the Spaniards were coming from the south, what they saw was, here's our family coming back to see us, to give us a report. And their gesture was, he would have put his hands out like that, and they would have put their hand like this. I'm home. They forgot. Some of the stories I'll tell you, you'll remember with a familiarity to them that touches deep inside your heart. And today, science teaches us why we remember. We remember because in our DNA, there's coded stories. There's something that helps you remember something from generations lost. It could be 5 or 6 or 10 generations back. When you hear the story, you go, that sounds so comforting and so familiar. It's in your DNA. Science teaches that today. I like how science is catching up to the native world. talking about multiple dimensions, you know. I'm a practicing medicine man. I do things that the Western world is trying to catch up to. And I say, okay, good, you're doing good. You're catching up, you know. Science found out there's like 13 dimensions discovered so far. Rosemary, did you know there's 13 dimensions that the Western world discovered?
Yeah.
13, yeah. Really good scientific studies. And then the native world, they tell us, oh, we've got 13 dimensions discovered so far. Well, you're doing really good. You know, you'll learn, you know. So you asked me about my regalia, for example. What's my regalia about? Every piece I put on invites someone to be with me, an ancestor, maybe my son, my mother, my great-great-grandfather. What's with the hats? It's not raining in here. You can relate to this hat real quick because I'm going to give you something to understand. Think of it in terms of a yarmulke. When I put this hat on, that feather represents God's blessing. It's a pretty important hat to be wearing. When I'm under this, I got to behave, you know. You can't have a Jewish person being upset and being, you know, abusive when they're wearing a yarmulke. That's not right. You know, you're asking for God's blessings in your life right there. When we dress up, we call upon our ancestors and the spirit helpers to come with us during the day. We're supposed to. We represent how we feel today, who we want with us. But I'm gonna do a quick story. I thought I was going to have an hour to speak, but, you know, I'll cram it into a smaller time. We have a story of the beginning of time in all the native world, all the indigenous cultures around the world. They have these same stories, different characters, same story, same thing, same everything. Some are longer, some are shorter. But I'm going to get to the point when I get to the very end of this. Okay. In the beginning, the raven and the mink and the coyote helped the Creator plan the world. In our language, we have no word for God. We just say the Creator, which is beyond trying to give God a name. That's way beyond our pay grade. You know. They helped the Creator decide to have all the rivers flow only one way. They first thought the water should flow up one side of the river and down the other. They decided there should be bends in the rivers so that there would be eddies where the fish could stop and rest. They decided the beasts should be placed in the forest. Human beings would have to keep out of their way. A human being would not live on this earth forever, agreed Raven. And the mink and the coyote and the old Creator, they all agreed on this. They will stay for only a short time. Today we've witnessed that. Then the body will go back to the earth and the spirit back to the spirit world, heaven. All living things, they said, will be male and female, animals and plants, fish and birds, and everything will get us food from the earth, the soil. That's never changed. The Creator gave four names for the earth. He said that only a few people should know the names. Those few should have special preparation for that knowledge to receive the spirit power. If many people should know the names, the world would change too soon and too suddenly. Think about that, where we are today. One of the names is for the sun, which rises in the east and brings warmth and light. The other is for the rivers and streams and the salt water. The third is for the soil. Our bodies go back to it. The fourth is for the forest. The forest is older than human beings and is forever on the earth. So that's setting the groundwork for creation of mankind. After the world had been created for a while, everyone learned the four names. Everyone and everything spoke Skagit language. Okay, do you think the whole world spoke the Skagit language? What if I told you you were wrong and the whole world did speak the Skagit language? What is the language, the first language of all humanity? It's thought. And how it manifests itself through our tongue is secondary. So it's teaching you, right from the beginning, the universal language is thought. And we'll call it Skagit. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it Hebrew. You can call it Dramatic. You can call it, you know, Indonesian. Anything you want to. But it all originates in thought. Catch up to my place here. When the people began to talk to the trees, then the change came. The change was a flood. Water covered everything but two high mountains, Mount Koba and Takaba. We know them as Baker and Rainier. Those two mountains, Mount Baker and Rainier, did not go under. When the people saw the flood coming, they made a great big canoe. They loaded it with two of everything on earth, with male and female of every animal and plant. When the flood was over, the canoe landed on a prairie in Skagit County, which is a Nukwachamish prairie. We call it the Nukwachamps. Five people were in the canoe. After the flood, when the land was dry, they made their way back here. A child was born to a man and his wife who had been in the canoe. Dukwabuth, the new creator.
Ooh.
He created after the flood, after the world changed. When he was old enough, Dukwabuth was told to go to the lake. Lake Campbell's what it was called. To swim fast and get a spirit power. But the boy played around. He didn't obey his orders. The coyote fed him, and the boy did not try to get his spirit power. So his family deserted him. This story is going to come in your mind about how your life is parallel some of these things. When he came home, no one was there. His family was gone. They had taken everything with them except what belonged to the boy. They left his dog behind and hide from chipmunks and squirrels the boy had shot when he was hunting. His grandmother left a fire for him in a clamshell. From the skins which he had dried, the boy made a blanket. We've all been at a point in our life where we've been totally alone. And our resources are very limited. We've been there, you know. When he found a family that deserted him, and what he had done wrong, he began to swim and to fast. For many days, he swam and fasted. No one can get spare power unless he's clean and unless his stomach is empty. One day, the boy dreamed, and the old creator came. And we teach a lot of times in our prayers and our thoughts, in our dreams is when we're the most open to advice from the spirit world. You know, we don't talk that as being a delusional or some strange, you know, weird dream. No, that's the time when you're available to listen. You know? And if this is, okay, take my blanket, said the old creator. It is the blanket of the whole earth. Wave it over the waters and name the four names of the earth, and there will be food for everyone. So when the Jews were leaving across the desert, manna appeared. Same story. Thousands of years before, tens of thousands of miles away, same story. This reinforces one point here. That's how the boy got his spirit power from the old creator. He waved the blanket over the water, over the forest, and there was food for everyone, but there were no people yet. The boy swam more and kept fasting. The old creator came to him in a dream again, gathered together all the people who had lived before the flood, gathered the bones and piled them in a big pile, then waved my blanket over them and named the four names of the earth. The young man did as he was told in his dreams, and people were created from the bones, but they could not talk. So this is a little bit more detail than Genesis. A little bit more detail. Made out of the earth, okay. It's the same thing. Just a little more elaboration on it, you know. They weren't complete yet. The young creator swam some more. A third time, the old creator came to him in a dream. This time, he told the young man that he should take the brains for make brains for the new people. So he waved the blanket over the earth and named the four names of the earth. And this is how our brains were made from the soil of earth. Yeah. Something we don't think about in the Bible creation story. What stages did the people go through before we were as we now know each other? Then the people could talk. They spoke many different languages. But where they could live, the young creator did not know. So he swam across, he swam some more. And in his dream, the old creator told him, step over the big island from ocean to ocean. So the first thing we're told in our stories that passed down for thousands of years is the world is very vast. There are multiple oceans, different cultures, different people. And blow the people back to where they belonged. So the Creator blew the people back to the places where they had lived before. Some placed in buffalo country, some by the salt water, some by fresh water, some in forests. That is why people live in different places and speak different languages. The people created after the flood prophesied that a new language would be introduced into our country. It will be the only language spoken until the next change comes. The prophecy. So I had to learn English. You know, my children speak English. My sister and I speak English. That's a very worrisome prophecy right there, because we're talking about everything's been prepared for the next change. And today, you know, my goodness, the West Coast is being inundated by weather they've never known before. Europe is being inundated by weather it's never known before. The BBC this morning talked about one little island in Indonesian chain that got hit by two consecutive hurricanes in 1 week. They are beyond distress. There's no one there to help them. Yeah. We are there. When we can understand animals, we will know that the change is halfway. When we can talk to the forest, we will know the change has come. It's the one thing today in science is trying to teach us, how to listen to the environment. So we were taught this as the only way to live. You have to be able to listen to the Creator. The flood was one change, and another is yet to come. The world will change again. When it will change, we do not know. That's pretty profound words. There's a difference between the way the Western world looks at our stories. And they call it, this book is titled Indian Legends of the Pacific Northwest. I've got lots of copies of the Bible in my home. Not one, no place on it does it say legends of people of the East. Or the Middle East, or the desert people. Didn't say legends. It's very respectful. So today, you come here and you want to hear about our language, our culture. And if I want to explain to you that it's not my culture, it's our culture. We've never estranged ourselves from the world. We've always known we are one family. We always have always known that the stories that we tell, when I tell you these stories, something feels good about that. Because somewhere along the line, and a lot of this has to do with the American dream. You know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, you know, and you all know this story is get rid of the old country, you know, we've got something better for you. American dream, become homogenized, give it the old ways. And it was a betrayal of those stories. So my friends down in Oklahoma, I found out they're all Lebanese. All these farmers, Lebanese, I said, oh man, I want to hear about this, you know. I said, when are your celebrations and when are your events? He goes, the old guys quit doing it, the young guys weren't interested in it, and so we just fell by the wayside. I said, what did you trade for? Be a cowboy? You know, raise wheat? What did you get in return? And what we got in return was someone's grandmother and grandfather quit telling the stories that they were obligated to tell. This story can be told in Indonesia, South Africa, Northern Europe, Iceland, everywhere around the world. Telling you we're all one family. And the Western world says, no, stay divided. You know, and you people here have agreed that division has not served our families well. Division has caused all the pain and hurt and suffering our whole life. Our family, our immediate family, does not know about all the idiosyncrasies of our lives, individual life, but we love them anyway. You know. In the Native world, we're taught some really interesting things, like I'm enrolled up as Skagit. What does that mean, enrolled? If I go back 100 years, when I go into community, who are you? I would have to give every name of every grandparent and every tribe for the last 500 years. And if I wanted to move onto Swinomish land, where I live now, I would have to agree to go by their cultural practices and honor their ways, and I would become Swinomish. My great auntie, married my uncle in the early 50s. Little white girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, beautiful lady, really intelligent. And my favorite uncle, Uncle Oni. And she said, I would go to all these ceremonies. And there I was, this little white girl sitting there, you know, and she went to some really powerful ceremonies where things happened that Western science and religion can't explain. Healing, levitation, time travel, all sorts of things. And she goes, I don't know why they let me in there. I said, Auntie, they went by the old rules. You married a tribal member. You agreed to go by the ways of our culture. You were Skagit. That's all anything they could see. You were Skagit. When you go into a culture, you respect what one in Rome, do the Roman do. Okay? Something we're taught. When you agree to live by that culture, that cultural rules, you know, you become part of that culture. But the problem in America was there was nothing in the other hand. And now here we're all gathered together saying, what is going on? I don't understand my relationship with the spirit world. You know, I don't understand where people go after they leave here. I don't understand. Something is not right. And something is telling you is thousands of generations have told stories and you weren't told it. And you just become aware. You're alone in the playground. And so you begin to search for that and try to find an understanding, and some things start making sense to you. Like, for example, we have no word for God, the Creator. That's good enough. You know, we recognize my sister, Tony, Terry, Rosemary, and I understand the day is spent in prayer. We say it, and we haven't even been taught how to say it. Usually, unfortunately, the Western way I was taught to pray was, when you want something, need something, you say, God, I want this. I need $1,000 in my bank right now. Doesn't happen. He says, God doesn't love me. You know? But the progression of, I'm in a situation where I don't understand. I need some help and guidance in trying to get me through this. That's the way we pray. It's the ongoing. And then during the course of the afternoon, you go, okay, I can figure this out. I can do this, you know. But the prayer in the native world is never isolated to a given place. I had Rosie Caillou, called me up one day, Monday. Said, I tried to call you yesterday. I figured you were in church, so that's why you didn't answer the phone. Now, Rosie is an elder. Oh, like, and elders in our world are everything, you know. And she is extremely high status. And I knew this was not a question. It was kind of like a test. And I said, Rosie, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I'm in church. Good answer. The elders would say things and test you in certain ways, not give you an answer, but to see what you come up with at that point in time. 1993, I had a conversation with Velma Caillou. Tony and I were talking about this yesterday. 92, 93. Went over to her house. My son and Velma's husband would go off to another room and watch baseball, like two little kids. So Velma and I could sit and talk about medicine and life. And she looked at me, she says, she was in a wheelchair, disabled. She said, what do you think about the weather? I said, oh, God, man, I've heard that tone of voice before, you know. And I knew she wasn't asking about what temperature it was outside. It was a really powerful question. What do you think about the weather? If I ask you that, you can all tell me the temperature outside. You know? I said, Velma, I think when nature gets tired of us, when we no longer serve a purpose, she's going to remove us from the face of the earth with wind, water, and snow. Yes. Yes. We're taught to see and hear from our heart. And people in the Western world call it the heart. We call it our soul. Does anybody know a native explanation of what a soul can do? And I'm going to try to help you a little bit. It's been dissected many times in the Western world about we call it intuition. I had a hunch that was going to happen, and I should have listened. Okay? And if you think back in your life, every disaster that you had, you can think back a little bit before that and go, I was warned. Okay? So what it is your soul. We're taught, our soul teaches we can see forward and back through time, and 360 degrees times 360 degrees times 360 degrees. And we should listen to our soul, because that's where the Spirit Helper addresses us from.